The opioid addiction crisis is a reality across the country. It's led to, among other steps, increased regulation, and some hospitals have even reported that they're running out of opioids because of restrictions that have been put in place. It's into this reality that the Food and Drug Administration has stepped with the approval of a new opioid called Dysuvia, which is intended to be used specifically by the Department of Defense. But there are questions, and with me via Skype to answer some of them is Ed Silverman, columnist for PharmaLot and senior writer for Stat News. Ed, is the timing of this FDA approval kind of odd, considering the opioid crisis?
Well, it depends upon one's point of view, of course. The FDA is trying to thread a needle. On one hand, we've got an opioid crisis, large number, unfortunately, of ongoing opioid overdoses and deaths. And despite all sorts of regulatory and legislative efforts, it's taking a long time to really address the problem, and really we haven't made a dent. On the other hand, in this particular situation, the FDA is saying that its work with the military, the Department of Defense, to try to come up with, or at least sign off on, a particular type of delivery system for an opioid that would work well in the battlefield. That was the emphasis, at least, that the FDA made when it explained its decision for the approval that was announced last week. So that is something that is a bit of a twist for the average person, perhaps, who thinks of the opioid crisis and the need for opioids and the challenges in dealing with opioid prescriptions more on a day-to-day civilian basis, really. So this was a distinction. And yes, the company that make this particular product has worked with the military for a while in trying to develop an effective delivery device.
Is Dysuvia truly 10 times stronger than fentanyl? Because there have been a lot of concerns about fentanyl, that if people get addicted to that, that could lead to terrible consequences. In terms of its power, its strength, is it really that strong?
Yes. And so that is a key, as you can imagine, key concern for anyone who worries that the drug will end up in the wrong hands, which we know happens all the time, and not just with opioids.
I presume nothing in any aspect of this situation or any other is completely foolproof. How is it that the drug maker can be so certain, or at least coming out and saying they're certain, that this shouldn't be a concern, that this will enter the illegal trade market, that more people will be able to have access to it? Are there, again, coming back to safeguards, are there built-in safeguards that the drug maker is talking about? Or, to some extent, to be cynical, is that pie in the sky?
It's a good question. That's the big debate, because the FDA already has in place for a number of years a so-called risk mitigation strategy. The shorthand acronym is called REMS. But this risk mitigation strategy is typically required of a drug maker at the time of product approval by the FDA, and it often involves, or typically involves, a program that will educate the healthcare providers that administer a drug, monitor the flow of the product, and also provide education or training for the healthcare providers. In this particular case, the FDA is requiring what it calls a medically supervised setting, which means that Dysuvia could only be administered by a qualified physician or other healthcare provider who's received the training. And the point there is that it should ideally limit the distribution and access so that it doesn't become available on a black market. The objections, though, that I'm hearing from the critics is that there's no guarantee that won't happen. Medical personnel could, unfortunately, and I'm sure many would take umbrage at this notion, but again, the critics worry that some medical personnel will divert the product. And there it goes, often to the black market or whatever kind of market you want to think of. Is there a guarantee? Unfortunately, no. There's never a guarantee for anything in life. Right. And this is one of those situations where critics say too much is left up in the air. Just because there's a risk mitigation strategy doesn't mean that it will work as intended.
And the FDA commissioner, Dr. Scott Gottlieb, had a lengthy statement talking about the decision. What stood out to you about that, and what did you make of it? Is it something that needed to be said based on what we've already talked about, the fear of opioid addiction across the country?
Short answer is yes. I mean, the FDA put itself in a tight spot by agreeing to proceed with this approval, and that's not surprising. It could be anticipated there was a flap just before the decision was announced. One of the FDA's own advisory panel members, the doctor who chairs the panel, even though he had not been at the actual meeting where the drug was discussed and up for review, he subsequently wrote a letter, made it public, criticizing the FDA for what he felt would likely be the impending approval, and that did happen. And it speaks to, this whole episode does speak to the larger issue that the FDA confronts in trying to get its arms around the opioid problem. And that's really what Gottlieb was trying to address in his statement in announcing the approval the other day. Tried to step back and say, look, we need a drug of this sort in our armamentarium, as he called it. But at the same time, he acknowledged that the FDA, he claims, will not be blind or deaf to the concerns raised by this issue. And where do they go from here? It's going to be very difficult for the FDA to ensure that this risk mitigation strategy can really work. But he's trying to say, effectively, this is not an all or nothing situation. There are some cases where we need something, a product of this sort. And again, some disagree.
Ed Silverman is a columnist for PharmaLot. We've been talking about the FDA's approval of a new opioid called DSUVIA.